The Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We are spanning the globe today. And this radio show truly is statewide now. Want to thank 92.5 The Ticket in Bend for coming onto the network. They join the Ace in Medford. We're really excited about Medford coming on the BFT radio network, along with Klamath Falls and Roseburg and Eugene and Portland, of course. But Medford, special place in my heart. My mother-in-law lives there. She can now listen to the show while she's driving around and running her errands. She can tune in, and when Anna does the 5 at 5, she can laugh at how Anna gives me a hard time, and really excited to have that. So shout out to Eagle Point, Oregon, and Medford and Ashland and all of Southern Oregon who are now listening on the network on the Ace. We're going now to Columbus, Ohio. Bill Rabinowitz, he covers the number 2 team in the coaches poll, Ohio State. Nobody better on that beat. He's joining us now. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
Good, John. How are you?
I am well. It is date night tonight for you and your household. You're going to dinner. Give us an idea in Columbus. What's a night on the town look like?
Well, we already had it. You know, we're 3 hours ahead of you.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I met my wife. This is funny. There's a Mexican place. Right down the street from us. I mean, we were driving there, and it was like, we should have just walked, but it was really hot, and we were running a little late. So, I mean, literally, it's like 0.3 miles from our house. So we really felt pathetic going there, but met my son and his girlfriend and my niece and nephew and their little kids, so we had a nice little dinner.
I love that. You know, I grew up with family dinners. I think that's important stuff, and it's great that you get together and your kid gets together. Is your kid living in Columbus, too?
Yeah. One of them does. The other lives in Oakland, California. So it'll be nice when I come out for the game. I will take a long week of it and fly from Portland to Oakland and see her for a few days before flying back to Columbus. So another reason I'm looking forward to that weekend.
Good for you. Bill Rabinowitz with us, Columbus Dispatch. 25 years at the Columbus Dispatch. Nobody better on Ohio State. And Bill, the coaches poll comes out. Ohio State's at 2. That's not a surprise. But how is that sort of going over with Ohio State coaches, players, and fans?
You know, it's funny. I never really presumed to know that answer. Well, I can say for the coaches and the players, they don't really care because they've got their work ahead of them. They're in a training camp. They don't, you know, the polls are the last thing on their mind. You know, the fan base, they're probably fine with it. I mean, Georgia is Georgia, and they return their quarterback, and obviously it's a really good team. I was a little bit surprised that the Ohio State didn't get more first-place votes. I thought it'd be a closer, kind of point battle between Ohio State and Georgia, but it doesn't really matter. Especially this year, it mattered less than ever because you have 12 teams in it, and it's going to be a whole different kind of feel for the season. I mean, even like the Ohio State-Oregon game, which in any other year until now would have been like, oh my God, they have to win. And now it's like, well, it'll be nice to win, but it's not like it's a mortal wound if they don't.
The Big Ten Conference media days were interesting to me. So many teams, such a big conference. And now, you know, you always had Michigan and Ohio State. Now Oregon and USC come into the room. But, you know, we had Michigan's beat reporter, Austin Meek, for The Athletic on the show last week, and he said Michigan fans are focused on Ohio State. What are Ohio State fans focused on?
Well, they'll be focused on Michigan because that's the rivalry. And unless you're in Ohio or Michigan, I don't think you really quite understand the passion that people have for that rivalry. I mean, I know Oregon State, you know, that was a big deal, obviously. But Ohio State, Michigan, it's gone on forever. And now in recent years, you have the bad blood between Harbaugh and Ryan Day and the cheating scandal that, you know, a lot of Ohio State fans think those 3 wins over Ohio State, at least the first 2, were illegitimate because Michigan was, you know, apparently cheating. We'll know more about exactly what happened, hopefully down the road, but there is that sense that was not a fair fight. And so that's always going to be the rivalry. But in terms of Ohio State and Oregon, I think there's a lot of respect by Ohio State fans. Oregon's obviously a really good team, and There's a lot of anticipation about the game in Eugene, a lot of excitement about that game. There's a history between Ohio State and Oregon. Of course, 10 years ago, Ohio State beat Oregon to win the national title. And then a few years ago, 3 years ago, I guess it was, Oregon came to Columbus and whipped the Buckeyes. And that was a game that really exposed Ohio State's defense. And you know, that was kind of a transformative game for Ohio State. Just a little tidbit I might want to share is I did a story on Ryan Day's relationship with Chip Kelly. And in the course of doing the interviews, I found out that Ryan Day was almost hired instead of Bart Helfrich by Chip Kelly. He wanted to hire Ryan Day. Ryan Day was close to accepting it, but he had a very young family. His three kids were really young. He didn't want to move across the country, and all of the families are back in New Hampshire. And so at the last minute, he turned it down. And Day said, I said, did you ever think, you know, that could have been you on the sideline instead of Mark Helfrich coaching against the IFC? He said, oh, yeah. So just think about that, you know. Maybe it would have been a different outcome. Who knows?
Yeah, Ryan Day might still be the coach at Oregon. And, you know, we never heard of Willie Taggart, Mario Cristobal, and Dan Lanning.
Right.
We're talking to Bill Rabinowitz. How has the Chip Kelly arrival gone over? You've had a little bit of a chance to talk with him and be around him. How is he fitting?
Yeah, you know, I kind of heard these stories before. He was very quirky and kind of, I don't want to say standoffish, but just kind of like, you know, just kind of difficult to deal with. I found him to be, in the conversations I've had with him, to be perfectly fine. I had a half-hour conversation with him for that story on his relationship with Ryan, and obviously that's a story he's happy to tell. But just in kind of casual conversations with him, he's very loose. He's very happy. I think he just likes being a football coach. You know, not dealing with the other stuff you got to deal with as a head coach, and you know all that stuff. I just think he likes coaching football, and here he can do it with his protege, and I think he's just having a ball.
Yeah, and I think you know that when he left UCLA, Bill, he texted with me and. We texted about his happiness, and he alluded to the fact that he just wanted to be happy. And I think he gets a chance to coach, and he doesn't have to deal with the head coaching stuff at Ohio State. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chip Kelly never wanted to be a head coach again. I think he wants to teach, and he wants to coach, and wants to be happy. And that two-headed monster, though, Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, I could see that being problems for people. I mean, that is an elite offensive attack. How is the defense coming together at Ohio State?
Well, the defense is really, really good. I mean, we do that because they returned almost everybody from that defense last year. I mean, we lost a few players, but they returned almost everybody, and they got Caleb Downs from Alabama, who might be the single best player on the team. I mean, he's that good. And I mean, we got to watch the first 4 days of practice, and it was really hard for the offense to do a whole lot. It was a lot of checkdowns, very few passes that were deep or even medium length down the field that were completed. It's a really, really good defense. I mean, you know, I think teams like Oregon will obviously challenge them, but I think about some of the weaker Big Ten teams, and it's like, how are they going to get a first down? I mean, are they going to cross midfield? I mean, it's like that kind of thing. And I don't know that they've got somebody who's like a Bosa or a Chase Young or somebody who's just going to be a top five draft pick. But they got a bunch of guys who could be first-round draft picks. With Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, Denzel Burke at cornerback, Sonny Styles at linebacker, again, Caleb Downs. I mean, they're just loaded. They don't have a weakness on that defense. And obviously injuries could change things. And you could have a bad game and have breakdowns and somebody, you know, scores on you. But boy, oh boy, on paper and what I've seen so far in training camp, they're going to be really, really good.
Give me an idea, the depth of the Big Ten, because you kind of hit on it there, and I was thinking about it as 18 teams showed up in Indianapolis and talked about their season. How many teams with a straight face, Bill, do you think can reasonably talk about contending for a championship in the Big Ten?
It's Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan. I would say most years USC. I don't know that I would say that this year. In fact, I think I would not say that this year. But, you know, I think if Luke Fickell can get it going at Wisconsin, I think they've got the foundation, the program history, and the desire to be a contender. I think Michigan State's got a long way to go, but Jonathan Smith's a really good coach, and he could get them there at some point. You know, Washington is obviously a very good program. They lost, I mean, literally almost everybody from that team, so they're a mystery. Obviously, Penn State is a really good program, but Penn State has been very good, but even in James Franklin's words, not elite. And so, you know, it's Ohio State and Oregon and Michigan that I say, you know, every year, and USC, I would say most years, you know, and I think that Lincoln Riley will get that going, or should at least. So I think it's those four, and then maybe Penn State. But, you know, you look at some of these other teams, and they had the benefit of being in the West Division for all those years, so at least they could get to the Big Ten Championship game. They never won one. No West team won a Big Ten Championship, but they could at least get there. Now you think of a team like, you know, Minnesota or Northwestern or Indiana, Purdue. I mean, what chance do they have to ever win a Big Ten Championship? I don't think they do. Iowa's a team I didn't mention. But at least on one side of the ball, they're championship caliber. I mean, their defense is always really good. Phil Parker's an absolutely phenomenal defensive coordinator. But their offense has just been dreadful. They finally made some coaching changes, got rid of Ferentz's son. So maybe there's hope for them down the road. But, you know, I think Iowa's a middle-of-the-back team most years.
I want to talk about Michigan for a second. And Jim Harbaugh, in the wake of the news and the NCAA's investigation, he is adamant that he didn't know.
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
How did that go over with Ohio State's fans?
I tweeted that just because it was kind of like setting the fuse and just saying, okay, let's see how this blows up. And right. It was predictable results. You know, the Pinocchio comments and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Look, you know, I can't get inside Jim Harbaugh's brain. I obviously don't know what he knew. But is it plausible that a low-level guy making, you know, $50,000 or whatever it was is the mastermind of this scheme? I mean, you know, I'm not saying Jim Harbaugh's the one who knew, but I don't think he was a rogue guy who just said, you know, I think it might be fun to steal people's signs, and I'm just going to do it, not tell anybody above me. I just find that hard to believe. I can't assign blame or, you know, say who actually did direct it. I have no idea.
But you and I have been in this business 3 decades each, right? And we can look at this, and head football coaches have their finger on everything. And if they don't, it's their director of operations who's, I mean, every detail of the program is buttoned up. I have a hard time, let's just talk it in general terms, because we don't want to, you know, implicate Jim Harbaugh, but I have a hard time believing that a coach would have something like this going on and not know about it.
They are all control freaks. They all want to know everything that happens in their program. They get upset when they don't know the smallest detail of whatever happened. And so, yes, it's highly questionable that something that a scheme like that, that involves travel, involves buying tickets, involves, you know, whatever it involved, that people above him didn't know. I mean, including the head coach. Now, do I know? Of course I don't know that. Jim Harbaugh might be telling the truth. I'm not going to disparage him and say he's a liar. I don't know that. But like you said, we've been in this business a long time. We know how coaches want to know everything. And it's like, really? Right? Really?
Yeah. Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch with us. October 12th, you'll be at Autzen Stadium watching Ohio State Oregon. How much does the last Ohio State Oregon game sticking in the craw of that program, does it even factor? What concerns, if any, does Ohio State have entering the season? Let's talk October 12th.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm looking forward to it. We were supposed to go to Austin in 2020, and of course the pandemic wiped that out, so I was disappointed. Oregon's one of the, a handful of states I've not been to, and one of the few of those that I actually want to go to. So I am looking forward to going to Oregon. I hear it's a great atmosphere. You know, it's about maybe half the size of Ohio Stadium, which is, you know, over 100,000, but I hear it's a great atmosphere. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, it'll be fun, actually, you know. Well, it makes no difference to me, but you know, like I said earlier, the game is important, but it's not everything. So it's going to be more fun than it is people, like, you know, being panicked if their team loses, because there is life after that game. I think it'll be a great challenge. I think about Dylan Gabriel, and I talked to him at the Big Ten Media Days. Very impressive guy. Very likable. Presents himself very well. Very well spoken. I know he's a terrific quarterback. So. Nothing but nice things to say about Dylan Gabriel and my interactions with him in Indianapolis. You know, that's going to be obviously a challenge for Ohio State's defense, by far the biggest challenge they will have had to that point, and probably the biggest challenge we'll have all season, to be honest, at least until the playoffs. You know, I don't know that much about Oregon's defense, to be honest, so, you know, we'll see what Ohio State's offense looks like. I mean, I think that Will Howard will be the quarterback, but Chip Kelly said today there's no front runner. I mean, I think there is, and I think it's Will Howard, but he's not going to say that. Ohio State has two great running backs, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, the transfer from Ole Miss. They've got elite receivers. The offensive line should be considerably better than it was last year just by having experience. You know, they got Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously, and that's a big loss, but they do reload and not just rebuild at Ohio State. So I think it'll be a fascinating game. I think it's, other than the Ohio State-Michigan game, for reasons I've already talked about, it's the game of the year in the Big Ten. And so it's going to be fun to go cover that one.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. Let's connect before you come out. Love to say hello, and thank you for giving us some of your time, Bill.
Always happy to be on with you, John.
There he goes. We've gone now to Athens, Georgia, where we checked in with Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, number one team in the country. We have now gone to Columbus, Ohio, with Bill Rabinowitz, the number two team in the coaches' poll. Shall we just keep going? Shall, Oregon's three. We had a visit earlier this week, yesterday, with Stephen Woodward at Fox Sports Eugene, so we've been to Eugene. Should we go to Austin, Texas next? Number four, Texas, and then Alabama? Should we just go down the list, Stephen, spanning the globe? Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State?
I don't hate it, because I'm getting excited for college football. I'll tell you what.
Missouri at 11? LSU at 12? Tell me when you lose interest. Salt Lake City, 13? Clemson, 14? Spanning the globe.
I'm in.
Tennessee, Oklahoma, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Miami. Mario Cristobal, we'll get him on. Number 19, Miami. And I'm looking at the poll, by the way. Let's see, a couple things jumped out at me. I think Georgia's on another level. And so I do think Georgia's going to stick at one and be at one for a while. I think Alabama at five is overrated. I think Texas at four might be overrated. I like Ole Miss a little better. I think Michigan's too high at eight. They got a first place vote. I think Miami at 19 is too low. I think Utah at 13 is too low. I think Utah is going to end up in the top eight. Keep an eye on it, and I'm still looking for a group of five here.
You got to replace those teams, though. I mean, you're saying these teams are overrated. You got Utah jumping up. Who else are you jumping up and over? Well, Michigan or Texas or Alabama?
I'm dropping Michigan. I'm dropping Texas. I'm dropping Alabama. I'm raising Utah up in the top eight. I don't think Notre Dame should be at seven either. I think they're lower. So I think Penn State will be up higher. I think Florida State and Utah will be up higher. And Miami. And I think Miami's going to be a top 10 team.
That's a nice pick right there. Nice sleeper pick.
I just think, you know how it goes. Oh, people fill out these coaches are filling out the ballots, and they're going Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. Wake me up. Like, you know,
Texas A&M's in there.
You know, they're just filling out their ballots. And they're just going, I got to get this over with. But, you know, USC at 23. Interesting. Let's play a game in the next segment. Underrated or overrated? Leave it here.